Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 50. Genesis, chapter 50, verses 22 through 26. Genesis chapter 50, verses 22 through 26. Now, folks, as we're reading and things, Brother Nash is going to be helping Brother Nichols come to the platform, need some assistance. Let's just make sure we're doing our part and let them take care of theirs. Genesis chapter 50, verses 22 through 26. Let's read this passage responsively. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, and bring you out of this land into the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from thence. Let's finish on verse 26 together. Ready? So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you for your presence here in our church. Thank you that people from all over this area, and yea, from four different states or more, are here. And yet, you are one God. And a God that deserves our attention. Some 2,000 years ago, our Savior did what no other could do and conquered death. Thank you for that. Thank you that when we think of Jesus, we don't have to go to a grave and see bodies and see things that are there, because he conquered death for us. Father, please fill our preacher with your power today. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts and our lives so that we could do more for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
You won't want to miss it tonight. The Nichols will be testifying and singing at the 6 o'clock hour, and then, of course, singing again for us in the evening church service. And thank you, Brother Nichols, for helping Brother Nash down the stairs. You may feel like you have a physical holdback. He has a mental holdback. So, all right, look right this way, if you will, please. I'm going to read one verse to you again. Let me remind you and myself that time is a little short. We've had a lot of activity here this morning. I need you to give me your attention on purpose now, so let's focus on the Word of God. I read to you again Genesis chapter 50, verse number 26, where the Bible says, So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Today is Resurrection Sunday. We celebrate the fact that Jesus had been crucified and buried, and then that thing, that remarkable resurrection. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day it is for us. Here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, we celebrate the resurrection 52 weeks a year, not just on Easter, as they call it. We know his grave, or his tomb, was not to be his final resting place. You see, his coffin could not hold the Savior. Now, let me tell you something. He did this thing called the resurrection. He did it, I think, as an example for us. See, he purchased a thing called salvation for us so that one day our grave could not hold us. Jesus came up out of his coffin because that would not be his final resting place. So that those of us that were saved, one day, we would have had his example of a resurrection, and we too, as born-again Christians, could experience a resurrection. Only one time in the entire Bible is the word coffin used. It is used in Genesis concerning the story of Joseph. Please, if I could, let me use that story. Joseph had died at 110 years of age. The Bible says that they had embalmed his body. He was put into a coffin, and he was buried in Egypt. Nobody enjoys the sight of a coffin, not at all. But let's be realistic. If Jesus does not come again in our lifetime, your body and my body will be placed in a coffin or a casket. I've conducted many, many funerals in my day. I like to call them home-going services, graduation services, if you will. And I'll tell you something, I'm always saddened when people who attend a funeral come to view a body and they are unprepared for death themselves. You can always tell. You can tell who's not really prepared for death when they go to a funeral. It's hard for them to come near that box. It's hard for them to come near that coffin. Some pass by very quickly, and they do it in great fear. They do it out of respect for the living and the family, but it's hard for them. Some glance toward the coffin, then they quickly look away because they want to get death off their minds as quick as possible. Now, why do they do that? Well, a lot of people do that because they're not ready for death. What does that mean? They're not saved. They're not born again. You know, when a saved person goes to a funeral, it's totally different to them than when lost people go to a funeral. Saved people go to a funeral, now their hearts are broken and their hearts are heavy, but they know something about that coffin, you see. That is not the loved one's final resting place. But when people are not saved, they look in that coffin and it bothers them. Again, only one time in the entire Bible do we see the word coffin, C-O-F-F-I-N, only one time. The word coffin in the Hebrew language has a wonderful definition. It actually means two words, hope chest, hope chest. Let me read Genesis chapter 50, verse 26 to you. The Bible says, so Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put into a coffin in Egypt. But wait a minute. Let me put that word coffin, let me change it for a moment. It says, and they put him into a hope chest in Egypt. Hey, listen, that tends to keep that box from being so morbid. That tends to keep that box from being so scary. You know something? I would really love it if we could rename those boxes. I wish they weren't called coffins. I wish they were called hope chests. I really, really do. Now, the lost wouldn't understand that. If your coffin was to you a hope chest, then you would not have to fear it like you do. I ask you a question this morning. What would yours be? Will it be a coffin or will it be a hope chest? Which will yours be? Thank God that Jesus' tomb was not a coffin. Jesus' tomb was a hope chest. It was a borrowed tomb. You say, why? He didn't plan to stay for long. It was a borrowed thing. He wasn't staying there, and he knew it. He knew that he would get up out of that grave. He knew that was going to happen. Hey, I want to tell you, my sermon's title today is this. No coffin for me. No coffin for me. Now, let me say this. Number one, now what exactly is a hope chest? What is a hope chest? Let me see if I can describe it this way for you. When my wife was a young lady, and I'm sorry, my wife is still a young lady. When my wife was a younger lady, in her teen years, her mother helped her to set up what she called a hope chest. She actually had, I think, honey, it was made of cedar. Very, very beautiful chest. And she hoped to become a bride someday. And that hope chest, she began to put some things in it to prepare her for one day being married. Her hope chest represented her plan to leave home and leave her parents and go live with the wonderful, magnificent, marvelous, powerful husband that God would give her. And may I say, my wife, she experienced quite the catch. There are a lot of fish in the ocean, but look what she got. Now, Mrs. Nash's, she got, is there such thing as a dogfish? My wife had this thing called a hope chest. And in it, she began to, her mother helped her, and she began to gather some things, some dishes that she would use someday when she became a bride, and some pots, and some pans, and some towels, and her mother one day, when my wife and I were, when I was courting her, she took me and she said, "Jeff, let me show you Sherry, let me show you her hope chest." We went back, and her mother opened that thing up, and there were all sorts of dishes, and pots, and pans, and there were baby clothes in there. And her mother said, "It has always been Sherry's dream to be nothing more than a mama and a housewife. That's her dream. That's what she wants to do." Hey, that was her hope. Now let me tell you something. She never wanted all those things in the hope chest to stay in the hope chest. The plan was they were coming out. I don't know if girls still do that today. I don't know if girls still do it today. I know that my wife and I, my daughter Charlotta, used to be Charlotta Owens until Ellswick stole my daughter from me. Brother, that shouldn't be allowed. But I'm glad he's paying the bills rather than I. Okay, I guess it's a pretty good swap. But my wife and I helped our daughter Charlotta to set up that very same hope chest, that very same wooden chest. My wife had used it when we got married, and then Charlotta used it. We helped her fill it with all sorts of pots and pans and things like that. Then Charlotta, I think we gave it to another little girl who is using it even now, and she's using it as her hope chest. You know something? No woman wanted that hope chest to be unopened. They wanted that chest to come open and the contents to be used. Let me explain something. A hope chest, or the casket to the saved, is a hope chest. You see, we're merely putting something in a box that's coming out later on. That's the way it is for the saved. Its contents are not permanent. Jesus' contents in the grave were not permanent. It wasn't a casket they buried Jesus in. It was a hope chest, if you will. And a Christian, when they get put in a coffin, it's truly a hope chest because the contents are not going to stay there. Secondly, God knew. He knew exactly what he was saying when he used that word coffin, defined as a hope chest, about Joseph in the Old Testament. To the world and to the lost, a coffin is not a thing of hope. That's why they have a bit of a hard time being around one. To the saved, a coffin brings a lot of hope to us. Just like my wife's hope chest, it was never intended to be left shut. It was never intended to be left locked. It was never intended that the things in it would be left there. It was going to come out, and that is God's exact plan. A saved person does not see a coffin the same way that a lost person does. I don't want to be buried in a coffin. Put me in a hope chest. Put me in a hope chest. When you bury me, don't worry. I'm coming out again. That's not my permanent resting place. That's not where I'll stay. I'm not going to be there forever. If you're saved, let me tell everybody here, even some of you that don't realize it, if you're born again, you're going to be buried in a hope chest. Now the lost, they may feel stuck in a coffin, but not me. I'm going to be in that hope chest. Again, Jesus, when he went into the grave, he knew he wasn't staying long. Anybody that paid for more than four nights rent in Jesus' grave hotel, they overpaid. He wasn't staying that long. You know, we have had dozens of folks from our church who have passed away. But let me tell you something. Every one of them, they were buried in a hope chest, not a coffin. I was thinking of Brother Frank Shepherd. Those of you who remember Brother Frank, what a good man. Thank God Brother Frank was in a hope chest, not a coffin. Amen. We'll see him again someday. I was, as I got to thinking about it, and some of you, I realize it's Easter Sunday, and you say, "Brother Owens, you're talking about coffins, and you're talking about death." Yes, I know. But to us, you got to stop and realize something. Anybody that's been put in one of those boxes, if they're born again, that's a hope chest. That's a hope chest. Brother Ray Montgomery, wouldn't he love a day like today? Brother Ray liked to give candy to all the kids, and we'd have candy hunts, and Ray'd come in and pop the trunk of his car open. There it'd be. All sorts of candy. Well, let me tell you something, Mrs. Montgomery. Ray wasn't buried in a coffin. He was buried in a hope chest. He's coming out of there. Oh, my. I think it's Skippy Burris. I sit down here and see Mama May. Skippy was buried in a hope chest, not a coffin. Hey, Greg and Rhonda. Rhonda lost her daddy. Ron, let me tell you something. He's not going to be buried in the coffin. It's a hope chest. It's a hope chest, Rhonda. It's a hope chest. It's, hey, one of these days, you're going to put me in something. Hey, I don't want to be put in a coffin. Put me in a hope chest. Put me in a hope chest. I was thinking of Marvin Barrett. He was buried in a hope chest. And Mary Best was buried in a hope chest. And Pauline Cole was buried in a hope chest. These are part of our church family. And they got put in one of those boxes. And you say, that scares me. Don't be afraid, Christian. That's not your permanent resting place. Virginia Smeltzer, Barbara and Ralph Osherman. What fine people. Hey, they got them a hope chest. That's what they got. I think of Betty Messner and Michael Rupert and Charles Smith and Evelyn Chapman and Betty Millat and Gloria Redmond and Dolores Taylor and Derek Knight. Every last one of them, they got put into a hope chest. All of us will face death someday. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this a judgment is going to come. Everybody here will have a funeral service unless the Lord comes back. Every last one of us, somebody will pass away. They'll get that box that they call a coffin or a casket, and there'll be a hearse, and there'll be a preacher say some words over you. There'll be a grave site prepared. But let me ask you a question here today. Will yours be a coffin? Or will yours be a hope chest? What will yours be? What will yours be? Mrs. Owens, I'm going to tell you something right now. I want all the Owens kids to listen to me. Listen to this very carefully. Jeff, don't you let your mama waste a whole bunch of money on burying me in a box. Well, I do want to be in a box. Tight wad. He'll have me in a hefty trash bag or something. I'm that dread. But let me tell you something, sweetheart. You don't have to waste a bunch of money on that box, because I'm going to tell you something. I'm not staying in it for long. When they put me in the grave, it's just a box. And the real me's not really even in that box. That's just a remains of me. I'll already be playing tag with the angels, honey. So don't you worry about spending a lot of money to put me in a fancy box. You won't have to do that. Whatever you do, don't put my new cell phone in there. I'll be calling people by accident. I got this new iPhone, and I put it in my pocket. And every time I sit down, I can't tell you what the kids tell me I'm doing. I'm dialing it, and I'm using a part of my body to dial it, and they call it something dialing. Don't put my cell phone in there. Plus, I don't want to hear from you. Once I get to heaven, you didn't have this mess down here. But I'm going to tell you something. When they bury me, I'm not going to be in a coffin. I'm going to be in a hope chest. Let me say this. Thirdly, Joseph's body did not stay in that coffin. Look at the Old Testament saint named Joseph, and we read the scripture where it says, so Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put into a coffin in Egypt. But let me tell you, got it. I was worried about that bug. I said, Lord, help somebody to kill it. Going to put him in a coffin. Let me say thirdly, Joseph's body did not stay in that coffin. You see, the coffin, that tends to be permanent. A hope chest is only temporary. The Bible says, again, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 32, it says, and the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought. You see, the bones of Joseph were brought up out of Egypt where he was originally buried. I believe the Bible is telling us that Joseph, to a degree, represents the beautiful picture of our resurrected Christ. You see, when Joseph was rejected by his brethren, that pictured Jesus, who was despised and rejected of us and by his brethren. When Joseph was cast into a pit, that represents Jesus, who was buried in a tomb. When Joseph, and many of you know the story, when Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver, that represents the fact that Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver by Judas. When they drew Joseph up out of that pit, it represented Jesus Christ coming up out of the grave. When Joseph was raised to the right-hand position of the king of Egypt, it represented Jesus being raised to the right hand of the Heavenly Father. Hey, it is no accident that the body of Joseph, once buried in Egypt, would not stay in that coffin. It's no accident at all. I believe the things that Joseph went through was a way for us to look back and to be reminded of what happened to Jesus Christ. You see, Joseph's coffin was actually a hope chest. 360 years after Joseph was buried, Moses went and said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." After a long competitive process between Moses and Pharaoh, Moses was allowed to lead God's people out of Egypt's captivity. Before they left, they went to where Joseph's coffin had been laid. 360 years prior, they put Joseph in a coffin, buried him, and now it's time for them to leave captivity, and they go to where he had been buried, and they dig him up, say, "You're not staying here, we're taking you elsewhere." And let me tell you something, folks, when they put us in the dirt, we're not staying there. We're going to go someplace else. This is a glorious picture of how one day every single person who's born again shall have the lid of their hope chest open, and we too shall victoriously rise from the grave. Joseph's body did not stay in Egypt, and our bodies will not stay in the grave. No coffin for me. That's just a hope chest. That's just a hope chest, you see. Oh, you'll like this. A man and his wife and his mother-in-law went on vacation to the Holy Land. While they were there, the mother-in-law passed away. The undertaker there in the Holy Land said, "You can have her shipped home for $5,000, or you could bury her here in the Holy Land for $150. The man thought about it, told him he would just have her shipped home. The undertaker asked, "Why? Why would you spend $5,000 to ship your mother-in-law home when it would be a wonderful burial here in the Holy Land for only $150? The man replied, "A man died here 2,000 years ago, was buried here. 3 days later, he arose from the dead, and I can't take any chances on my mother-in-law doing that." Hey, listen to me, my friend. Listen to me. That hope chest, That thing called the coffin, it's a hope chest. The things that were placed in my wife's hope chest, they were not there. They were not permanent. They were put there, but they were going to be taken out for a use later on. Secondly, God knew exactly what He was doing when He put Joseph in that coffin. We see that Joseph's body did not stay in that grave, just like the body of Jesus Christ did not stay in the grave. You see, Joseph's bones were carried to Canaan. Wow. Carried to Canaan. Joseph died and was buried in Egypt, but 360 years later, when his bones came out of that hope chest, he found himself in Canaan. When a Christian's hope chest opens up, we will rise to meet Jesus in our Canaan land called heaven. I gotta make sure you understand it. He was buried in Egypt. That's a picture of the world. They buried him there. 360 years later, they picked that hope chest up. They carried it all the way to Canaan land. And Joseph found his bones in Canaan. Let me tell you something. Hey, I may be down here on this earth. I may be down here in what we might call the Egypt of the world. But when you bury me and I die and you put me in that box, when I wake up, I'm waking up in Canaan land. I'll be in Canaan land. We may be buried down here, but this is not our final destination. The lost are in a coffin. But Christians have a hope chest. The lost, I'd call that a hopeless chest. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 12, having no hope without God in the world. Now, what is it that makes the difference as to whether yours will be a hope chest or a coffin? What makes the difference? What is it that will cause a person to come out of their hope chest and to be resurrected in heaven or Canaan land? The answer? Listen to me. Romans chapter 8, verse number 11 says, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies." Let me explain what that verse says. There's a Spirit that got Jesus out of the grave. If that Spirit lives within you, that very same Spirit is what's going to get you up out of the grave. But if you don't have that Spirit, yours will be a coffin. You can't get out of the grave on your own. There's only one way for you to get out of your grave. There's only one way for you to turn it from a coffin into a hope chest, and that's trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, at which time the Holy Spirit of God lives within you. We sing the song, when he shall come with trumpet sound, may I then in him be found. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. See, that's talking about us being in Christ. What's that? Salvation. Salvation. The difference between a hope chest and a coffin is not church membership. Say, well, I'm a member of a church. Nowhere in the Bible does it say being a member of a church turns your coffin into a hope chest. The difference is, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, which means the Holy Spirit of God lives within you, because it's going to take the Holy Spirit of God to get the lid of your coffin open that it might become a hope chest. I need everybody to sit still and look right this way. Give me your attention now. Give me your attention. Life and death. It's hanging in the balance. Somebody needs to be saved today. You pay attention right this way. The difference of a hope chest and a coffin, it's not taking communion. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you're taking communion will make a difference between a coffin and a hope chest. The difference is you've trusted Christ as Savior. The Holy Spirit of God moved within you. When it's time for your body to be resurrected, the Spirit of God has to do it. And He has to be sealed inside you for that to happen. Baptism won't do it. We have a baptistry right back here. There's water. We believe that people ought to follow the Lord in baptism after they get saved. But if you say, well, I got baptized, that's going to help turn my coffin into a hope chest. Somebody sold you a wooden nickel, buddy. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that if you've been baptized, it would turn your coffin into a hope chest. The only thing that can turn your coffin into a hope chest is trusting Jesus Christ as personal Savior, which causes the Holy Spirit to live within you. And the day it's time for your body to get up, the body is going to move because the Spirit answers and follows after God. You say, I do good deeds. Good deeds will not keep you out of hell. It won't. You say, I gave some money. I'm glad that you did. But that will not turn your coffin into a hope chest. I mean, everybody look right this way. Please, I need everybody, unless it's an emergency, I need you to sit still. I need you to sit still. Hey, listen, you say, what's the difference in a coffin and a hope chest? You've got to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. He therefore moves into you. He lives within you. And that is what makes a difference. You say, well, I practice some religious behavior. I'm glad that you did. But that's not what it takes. You do not turn a choir, look right at me. Everybody just look right at me, and that'll help me a little bit. Listen, if it's a coffin, it means that you're not coming up out of it. If it's a hope chest, you're coming up out of it. How do you do that? Through salvation. When a person is saved, the Holy Spirit comes within their body to live. When the saved one dies, they're sacred to God. And so is their body, just so you know. At death, their soul or their spirit is going to go to heaven. Their body is going to stay in that coffin. Okay? It's going to stay right there in that box. One day at resurrection time, the body is going to go up and meet your soul or your spirit, and that's where you're going to live. See, listen, Greg and Rhonda, you're going to have a homegoing service here in a few days. Rhonda, your daddy's not in that box. He's in heaven. He's already up there having fun. He's fixing the tractors in heaven right now and telling all the guys up there they don't know what they're doing, you know. You see, when the Christian dies, they go on to heaven. The body goes in the box. You say, I don't want to be stuck in a box. If you're born again, you're not going to be stuck in a box. You're not going to be stuck in a box. You see, when the resurrection day comes, the bodies who have been the home of the Holy Spirit will come up out of their hope chest, go to heaven and become glorified and reunited with your soul and spirit. Brother Nichols, you tell you something. Right now you have a bit of a hard time getting up and down these stairs and your body is racked with pain, is racked with some difficulty. But let me tell you something. The minute you die, that crippled body can stay in that box for a little while, but you're going to heaven where you can outrun everybody. And then let me make you another promise. On resurrection day, when it's time for you to be called up, once that body is pulled up out of the hope chest and meet the rest of you in glory, it's going to be a fixed up body. It's going to be a body that works just right. Oh, unsaved people, you don't have that hope. You'll just be in a coffin. The Bible tells us that the time of the resurrection, the dead in Christ shall rise first, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. What does that mean? Jesus is coming again in the day that He says, okay, I want all the Christians to come up. The first people coming up are the people, their bodies have been in that box. Because God wants to get their bodies out of the box, reunited with their soul or their spirit, if you will, and take them on to heaven. It does not say the baptized shall rise first. Those that are in Christ shall rise first. It does not say the church member shall rise first. Those that are in Christ shall rise first. It doesn't say the sinner shall rise first, but those that are in Christ. What's in Christ? It means born again. Born again. Born again. Born again. Have you been saved? I say to you today that what we call Easter or Resurrection Sunday, just so you know what it's really all about, Jesus came, He lived 33 and a half sinless years, He died, He was buried, and He was resurrected. And because He did that, He made it so you and I, we too could have a resurrection someday. He made it so we could be saved. I don't know what all the other churches across the country are talking about today, but let me tell you something. The thing it's really all about is there somebody here today. If you died today, you would not go to heaven. You could not personally experience a resurrection. And God, Jesus Christ, was resurrected so you and I could one day be resurrected also. God doesn't want you buried in a coffin. He wants you buried in a hope chest. And He gave us the example by His resurrection. Let me say this and I'm done. Joseph planned his death. He planned it. He knew it was a hope chest and not a coffin. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22, listen very carefully. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Let me read it again. Hebrews 11, 22, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. What's it talking about? 360 years before Joseph died, or 360 years before the prophecy came to pass, here's what happened. Joseph said, I know that I'm not staying here in Egypt's captivity. I know that. And he said, you all make sure that when you get out of captivity that you take me with you. 360 years before the Egyptian bondage concluded, Joseph said, when deliverance comes, take my bones and get me out of this place. I don't want my bones left in Egypt. Now again, let me tell you, Egypt is equal to the world. It's equal to the world. It's said again in Genesis 50:26. The Bible says, so Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put into a coffin in Egypt, but he had given commandment that he not stay in that coffin. So here's what happened. Joseph was dying. He called some people over. He prophesied. He said, we're going to get out of this bondage. When we get out of this bondage, don't leave me here. That's what he told everybody to do. And so when they got out of bondage, they went down, dug him up, said, we can't leave him here. Where's he going? From Egypt to Canaan land. Folks, make plans for your death. But there are a lot of plans you can make physically for those that you love, etc., etc. But that the plan I'm talking about is make a decision today. A coffin or a hope chest? A coffin or a hope chest? Jesus was resurrected. He was doing it to purchase for you and I the privilege of being resurrected. Resurrected. No coffin for Jeff Owens. Put me in a hope chest. Are you saved? If you're not saved, you need to get saved. It changes your perception of death completely. When I mention our loved ones that have passed on, we all hurt. We all hurt, but I'll tell you this. They're in heaven and we know that. They're in heaven and we know it. We'll weep and we'll cry. And we'll have times where we miss them and we should. But we know they were put in hope chests. And we know that they're with Jesus now, and there's coming a day when their bodies, that hope chest, will pop open. Their bodies will meet their soul or spirit, and then they'll forever be with the Lord. Decide today. The question is this. A coffin? That's for people that have never trusted Christ as Savior. Or a hope chest? Temporary. Just passing through. needed a place to park my bones for a little while. That's all. A hope chest or a coffin.